So Matthew 6, and I'm going to read from verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Over to you, Tom.
Well, as Chris said, it's lovely to have a few of you with us in person, and it's great to have lots of you online as well. If we haven't had a chance to meet before, my name's Tom. I'm also on the leadership team here. Do keep the Bibles open in front of you. If you've managed to find the handout online, do keep the text open in front of you. We're going to look at it together. We've been studying the Sermon on the Mount throughout this academic year. It's been a great blessing to me. I hope it has to you as well, as we listen to these words of Jesus. Jesus is up a mountain like the second Moses, inaugurating the kingdom of God, just as the kingdom of Israel was begun and inaugurated as the law was given from the mountain. So we see Jesus, the promised king, establishing his kingdom as he teaches his people. And what we've been seeing is that to be a subject of the king, listening to his teaching, following his teaching, is to find yourself on the best possible path in life. That's why we've called our series exactly that. Jesus begins his sermon by saying, blessed are those, blessed are those. In other words, human flourishing, the best possible path in this life and in the life to come is for those who listen to Jesus and put his teaching into practice. One of the effects of this sermon has been that we find ourselves being convicted of our sin, of our moral and spiritual bankruptcy, our failure to live up to the standards of the king. And actually, that is the starting point on the best possible path in life, to see my needs for God's promised king, who's come to rescue us from sin and its consequences as he goes to the cross to incur them for us. That is how we start out. But then, having trusted in Jesus and received his grace, we find ourselves on the best possible path in life as we listen and obey. And so far, Jesus has said a lot about how we relate to one another as subjects within God's new community. He said a lot about how we are to relate on the divine level to God. But now he teaches us how we should relate to the material. Although we are spiritually minded, we worship a God who is spirit, we still live in a material world. And Jesus has a lot to say about how we should relate to life in a material world. Typically, there's a real absence of rules in what Jesus says here about money and material possessions. No formulated, tabulated in legal enactments, just principle, a general attitude towards money. And I thought, just to help us focus, we'd spend our time looking at verses 19 and 20, this positive and negative command. So the negative in verse 19, do not lay up treasures for yourself on earth. And then the positive, but lay up treasures for yourselves in heaven. It's typical of the New Testament to find the negative and the positive being stated. I think the implication here is that we can't hoard up wealth on earth and lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven. We must first cease from laying up treasures on earth if we are to seriously seek to lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven. And Jesus begins with the negative. He closes like that as well, doesn't he? He makes it very clear that this is binary. You can't serve God and money. And so if I'm laying up treasures for myself on earth, well, I'm trying to do both at the same time, and it doesn't work. So let's begin by considering the negative. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures for yourselves on earth. It's interesting, in this passage, Jesus isn't forbidding laying up treasures, nor is he forbidding laying up treasures for yourself. But what he is forbidding is laying those things up on earth. And so we need to consider what Jesus means by laying up treasures. I think in a general sense, he could be talking about accumulating lots of precious possessions. We know something of that, the world we live in. We're bombarded with adverts that tell us to do that sort of thing. But perhaps treasures more specifically has in mind the accumulation of great wealth. So he talks about things that are eaten by moth and things that rust. And in the ancient world, I'm told by the Boffins, money was sort of stored in things like cloth and in gold. They're kind of like a bank account. And so Jesus is warning against the inclination to try and hoard up great piles of cash upon the earth. Now, of course, we need to hear what Jesus is saying in light of other scripture. So, for example, through his apostles, he commands Christians to provide for their families. And that, of course, does mean prudent financial planning and saving, doesn't it? I may have parents I need to look after. I may have children I need to look after. One day I will retire and be unable to work. And all of this means I do need to be sensible and plan and indeed save. So Jesus isn't ruling out that kind of thing. He's not ruling out having money or saving up. He's not ruling out the necessity of ownership and of spending. He's not calling us to go and live in the desert as hermits. And to the rich, we find this teaching applied in this way by Paul. When he writes to Timothy, he says this: as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, and to be generous and ready to share. So perhaps a rich person inherited wealth. There's no call to give it all up, but there is a call to be ready to share, a call to have a committed generosity. And we need to hear what Jesus is saying today in the light of all of that. But having done that, we do need to hear what Jesus is very clearly saying. Do not lay up, hoard up treasures for yourselves on the earth. And the immediate reason for that is actually just plain common sense. If you're a Christian and you've adopted Jesus' view of reality, it's plain common sense. This earth, we know as Christians, is a fallen realm, frustrated and cursed by God and spoilt by wickedness and evil. And it's a realm that belongs to a passing age. If I hoard up treasures for myself on the earth, I will ultimately find that this earth fails me and disappoints me. The first example Jesus does use is of moths and of rust. A few years ago, I bought myself a nice new suit, and I haven't had much occasion to wear it this year, but because we've been behind a camera most of the time wearing Bermuda shorts and that kind of thing. Not really, but you get the idea. Anyway, I came to pull out one particular pair of suit trousers and found they're utterly moth-ridden. They'd been stored up there, actually, and they were so moth-eaten that they had to go straight in the bin. And, you know, even in our modern world where we can go to Robert Dyer's to buy sprays and that kind of thing, we know something of what Jesus is talking about, whether it's moths or rust. And we live in a world that is spoilt by evil, where people are seeking to take what is ours, don't we? I remember Dan Hong, when he used to be on the team here, lots of you will remember him. He used to work in finance before he was part of a team, and his boss was so wealthy and so at risk that he had to have permanent security because he could have been kidnapped and held to ransom. What a life, having accumulated all that wealth to find yourself having to be permanently looked after. And, you know, that's not us, but we know something of that anxiety, don't we? We've all got our money floating around in some account up in the clouds. I don't know how it works, but I'm just hoping that the boffins who are protecting it are better than the people on the other side of the world who are trying to hack in and get it. In the early days of the pandemic, there was a 31% increase in cybercrime, 2,000% increase in malicious files with Zoom in the name. And of course, the great irony of amassing wealth on the earth is that whilst we may think it will bring security, it actually results in the opposite. Listen to Charles Price, who expresses it better than I could. The more we have, the more we can lose. The more we can lose, the more we have to protect and look after. The more we have to look after and protect, the more damage we will experience by losing it. The more damage we experience through losing it, the more worried we become about losing it. The very thing which in our naivety we assumed would bring security actually produces insecurity. The earth, it is not a good place to store and save up and hoard up treasures. It's a fallen realm. And it belongs to a passing age. It's a realm cursed by God and spoilt by evil. And what Jesus is doing here is what Jesus has been doing throughout this sermon, actually. He's calling his subjects to live in light of eternity, to live on the earth in a way that is informed by what he has revealed, that there is a heaven, a life to come, a kingdom to which we are called. He begins the sermon, do you remember, saying exactly that? The Beatitudes are a call to live in the light of eternity. And that is what Jesus is doing here. We see that, don't we, in the positive. So let's look now at the positive in verse 20, our second point. Do not lay up treasures for yourselves on earth, but, point two, lay up for yourselves treasures. Where? In heaven. As we said, this is a big theme in the Sermon on the Mount, to live in the light of heaven. And here, Jesus calls us to apply that to our finances, to stuff, to our relationship to the material. I think the question we have to answer, or at least one of them, is what is this treasure that Jesus is saying we can actually lay up for ourselves in heaven? What is he talking about? I think there are a number of potential answers, but I was struck just looking back at the immediate context in chapter 6 of the way Jesus has repeatedly spoken about rewards, that our Heavenly Father will reward us. And that's a present tense thing, but also a future tense thing. He talks about reward in verse 18. But also, if you've got a Bible, glance back to the beginning of chapter 6 in verse 4, where he's talking about generosity among God's people. And he says that our Father who sees our giving in secret will reward you. And this is a big theme in the New Testament, isn't it? Jesus talks about rewards. He says that those who have been generous, those who've invested their money into gospel ministry, into things which will last into eternity, will be disproportionately lavished with reward by God on the final day. He talks in material terms of cities will be given to stewards and that kind of thing in God's new creation, a real physical glorious place. He speaks of reward in relational terms too. He says, make eternal friendships now. Invest your money into gospel ministry and you will meet people who will thank you on the other side of eternity for doing that because they are there as a result of the way we spent our money. But of course, the greatest relational reward and treasure will be to be in glory with God, and to see Jesus face to face, to be in the precious presence of the God of grace and love and glory. And so, in a sense, Jesus is just talking about taking hold of the treasure that is heaven. But it will be a glorious place, a physical place, a place where we will be able to enjoy the treasures that are contained there. Notice how Jesus draws a contrast. Just look at verse 20 again. doesn't use a positive, he uses the negative. He makes a contrast. In heaven, there will be neither moth nor rust. There will be no thieves who break in and steal. So just imagine that. None of the frustrations of owning something only to have to maintain it and eventually replace it. None of the insecurity of having something but knowing you could lose it. A place where we can fully and wonderfully enjoy what is there. And Jesus is calling us to live in the light of that day, that age, that place, to lay up our treasure there. And as we've alluded to, we do that as we invest in eternal things, into the gospel, as we use our resources in that kind of way. So how do we apply that? Well, on the one hand, it's obvious, isn't it? It means I need to think about my finances, how I use them, how I plan my finances, that kind of thing. But I'll tell you how I've been particularly applying this passage over the last week or so. I've been challenged afresh to think about eternal things and to persuade myself that heaven is real and that I am going there and that I will spend eternity there and that that is reality. And to make that dominate the way that I think about life now. And it's a hard thing to do, but I think that is the challenge of our text, to live in the light of that, to see things the way that Jesus sees things. And not to get caught up with a worldview that says this life and this world is all that there is. It's so easy to do, isn't it? It will happen if we are not deliberate in the way that we think. And although it's hard to think of heaven, a kind of place we feel is ethereal and, you know, made up of clouds and this kind of thing, although it's hard to think in concrete terms about eternity, we must, because Jesus speaks in those terms. And to ignore Jesus, well, it's just unbelief, isn't it? It's to reject his revelation. To help me meditate on heaven, I've been reading a Puritan called Richard Baxter, who wrote The Saint's Everlasting Rest, which is another way of talking about heaven, our eternal Sabbath rest. And there's a rebuke which he gives to himself as he closes his book with a meditation on heaven. He rebukes his own unbelief. He says, "O wretched heart of unbelief, your eyes, your ears, and all your senses may prove delusions sooner than a promise of God can delude you. You may be surer of that which is written in the Word than if you see it with your own eyes or feel it with your own hands. Are you sure you're alive and that this is earth you're standing upon? As sure is all that is promised. As sure I shall be higher than yonder stars and live forever in the holy city, and joyfully sound forth the praise of my Redeemer, if I be not shut out by this evil heart of unbelief, causing me to depart from the living God." Jesus says heaven is real. That should impact everything, even my wallet. Will I believe him? And I think the rest of our passage, as we close, is a warning in many respects. Will I adopt his perspective and his view of things? I think that's what Jesus is saying in the verses that follow. He warns us in verse 21, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." A life invested in eternal things will mean a heart focused on heaven and the God who is there. A life invested in this world will mean the affections run after the material and not God. And then have a look at verse 22 if you've got a Bible open in front of you. Jesus talks about the eye, which gives light to the rest of the body. And I think he is talking about this perspective which he has been teaching. If we have this healthy perspective on reality, then the body will be full of light. But if we don't, if we ignore Jesus' view of things that he has revealed to us, well, Jesus says, verse 23, if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? And I think that is experientially true. That if I find myself getting caught up in the material and immaterialism and that kind of idolatry, it affects the affections of my heart and can even affect the faculties. It begins to have a hardening effect, doesn't it, on the Christian life. It dulls my devotion. And Jesus is saying, I can find myself in the darkness if I reject his view of reality, which he has revealed. Heaven is real. And it's a very dark place to be, isn't it? To find yourself turning away from the God of heaven and serving money instead. Gradually, slowly, maybe over a lifetime, but finding myself in that position. Jesus ends saying that there are only two ultimate positions to be in, either serving money or God. And what a terrifying position to find yourself hating and despising God. Because I love money and I'm devoted to its service. And so Jesus says, don't lay up treasure for yourself on earth, but lay up treasure for yourselves in heaven. That is how to be safe as we live in light of his teaching and believe what he says about eternity. So let's ask God to give us light. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Son coming into our world and shattering our tiny view of reality. Thank you that he has made so clear that heaven is real. We have a future in his kingdom if we turn to him and trust in him. We acknowledge the seducing power of the material. And Father, we pray so much that you will help us to live in light of eternity, to invest ourselves, our money, into eternity and not into this world. May our bodies be full of light and not darkness. May we serve you all of our lives and not money. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.